Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we talk about wills and trusts and Medicaid planning and anything related to estate planning or elder law. It is a call-in show. We're happy to take your questions. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900, and we'll be happy to answer any of your questions. So, John, when is this weather going to let up?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. All right, I'm looking at it right now. It says today maybe a little bit of sun, but cold. Tomorrow a little better, 64. 20% chance of rain. Mm-hmm. Monday, not as good as we thought. 50-50 chance of rain.
Oh, no. I thought it was no rain on Monday.
Yeah, I know. Well, looking worse, came worse in this morning. So, yeah, bit of a there bummer. You have it. Memorial Day weekend, not a great one.
Memorial Day washout. All right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe we'll have to barbecue with an umbrella, you know.
Make
it work. Don't let the wetness damper your holiday weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have to have hamburgers and hot dogs.
You gotta.
I just have to.
It's mandatory. Absolutely.
It's mandatory.
I agree.
Oh, absolutely.
Gotta have them on the grill.
And my red, white, and blue cupcakes that I bought. So.
See, ooh, very nice.
You'll still make good use of them. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. If there's any left by Monday. So,
so my 5-year-old daughter yesterday asked me, that, you know, what is Memorial? She calls it Memorial Day. She gets forgets the I in there. What is Memorial Day, Daddy? Why do we have? Why do we don't have school on Memorial Day? I'll explain to her.
It's an important question.
It's a good question, you know, she's in pre-K. I'm a little upset they didn't teach her about it, but that's for another topic. I told her Memorial Day. You know, we're honoring our veterans, and in particular those who passed away during wartime.
Made the ultimate sacrifice for America.
Yeah, for America.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
right there.
Right.
I told her. I told her we have to honor all those people that, you know, the only reason you're living where you are today, Adrienne, is because of those people and what they did for us. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder how a 5-year-old thinks about war. They probably don't have a great conception of it.
I didn't get too deep into that part of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the general concept, I think. I think she got it.
You have police in your family, so she kind of gets the idea of, you know,
service,
honoring.
Oh, cool.
People, right?
Yeah, no vets, but a lot of police officers in the family. My wife's family in particular, she gets that a little bit, but
right.
Yeah, that's really great, and yeah, we certainly want to honor all the veterans. We have many, many clients.
Every day,
veterans.
Oh yeah.
We had until recently, you know, several World War II veterans. Unfortunately, they're kind of aging out, but I've certainly met them over my career.
Yeah, I had one somewhat recently, but that there's not going to be many left.
No, they're all pretty much in their mid-90s now,
I believe.
Few and far between at this point, so that's
But
the rest of the brave generation.
I certainly enjoy talking to them. They just had fabulous, you know, life experience and stories.
And a lot of them still have a great outlook on life.
Yes, they do.
What they see, how they see things, very interesting to me.
Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, we certainly have more either Korean War or Vietnam War veterans in our age group. And
still a lot of that, yep.
And even Gulf War, you know.
Sure, yeah.
Who maybe have some difficulties younger than they should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We meet a lot of those clients and, you know, we could talk a little bit today about, you know, planning for them and some options available to them. And broad array, right? So some of those veterans are, I don't want to say easy to deal with, but just like dealing with anyone else in terms of planning and getting their affairs in order, and they see the importance to it. But then there's a large population of veterans who, you know, for whatever reason, suffer from things like PTSD, and it's a little more difficult. You know, there's surprisingly to some people, and I didn't know until I moved up here and for a little while, there's a large population of homeless veterans in Saratoga Springs in particular. There's shelters of Saratoga. So we sponsor some of their events. They have an event coming up called One Fine Day where they try to raise money for not just veterans, but homeless in general. But when I went to the first one of those dinners that we sponsor for them, they were talking about how a large population of the homeless are veterans, and you know they're living in the rural woods, but you wouldn't even realize they were there. They had these camps set up, and it's difficult to get them help and seek services, and B, get them to agree to it, right? Because a lot of them are have become recluses and don't want to talk to people and don't trust people.
Yeah.
And
so it's difficult, and they really do need the help, and they deserve it.
They very much deserve it.
Yeah, and so it's a challenge, but
I feel like a lot of it was or is untreated, you know, PTSD.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm
and they
sure.
didn't know about it, you know, years ago, and now certainly it's more recognized and treatable.
Oh,
and they just need some reach, you know, someone to reach out and get them help.
Yep. Yeah, I think some of the stigma has been, you know, released from that, and you know, what does it mean in recognizing it? It's still difficult to get some of them help if they don't want the help as part of the problem.
Right.
Right, but they should at least have a warm place to sleep.
And, absolutely.
And they should, They deserve at least that.
It's the least we can do for them.
Yeah.
So when we're dealing with someone like that, or maybe it's their, maybe it's the person themselves, maybe it's the family trying to get them help, and we talk about, one, you know, what kind of documents should those people have in place that we'll get into, and two, what are some of the benefits that are available to them? And there's some great resources out there. Not the most easy to access sometimes, Jane Marie, as we know, and we try to connect the dots for them and whatnot, and even do some planning ahead. So, I mean, first, why do veterans need to estate plan? I mean, is the answer different than anyone else?
No difference, really. I mean, they're going to need the same documents.
Mm-hmm.
Healthcare proxy, power of attorney. Even more important, if you're suffering from, you know, mental illness or another injury, you need someone to be able to take those things over for you and help you manage those things if you can't.
Yeah, and I think for the veterans, it's important to realize that, hey, I might be prone more to this because of my experiences and whatnot. And with the families, if you have a veteran loved ones, recognize in the future, you know, if they're doing well now, get them on it now while they are doing well and then are willing to do these documents, and that'll help you to be able to care for them in the future. Because, like you said, it's the same documents. It's your power of attorney. It's your healthcare proxy. Mm-hmm. It's your last will and testament. Every person, veteran or not veteran, needs the same documents. It's a matter of getting them to sign those documents. And agree.
Absolutely. It's getting them to pick someone to, you know, make those decisions for them. But if you, and we will talk about it later in the show, applying for veterans benefits, you can have your power of attorney do that for you.
Yeah.
So that's really important, because if something happens and you don't have a power of attorney, you know, they can't do those applications for you.
Huge. Yeah. So, you know, if someone's beginning to suffer and withdrawing from the population, and you want to try to get that person help, and you're the power of attorney, you can go to an elder law attorney. You can go to the local VA center, which, by the way, are fantastic resources in a lot of the counties. And they know the benefits inside and out. But they're not going to be able to talk to you if you don't have that legal authorization through the power of attorney.
Yeah, if you come in and say, oh, my dad is, you know, suffering, he needs help. And, you know, they may say, well, I'm sorry if you can't sign for him.
Yeah.
Then, you know, as with our any of our other clients, you may have to do a guardianship if there's no documents in place.
Right. I mean, we try to steer away from that if possible. So getting those documents, things like trying to find the necessary paperwork. You know, you're going to need that, what we call the DD-214, which is the discharge paperwork. That's part of the requirements to apply for a lot of these benefits. And if you can't find it and have to apply for it and don't have the authority to apply for it, again, we're in a problem. We're in a situation where we can't access those benefits.
It's not just the VA benefits. Every Medicaid application, we need a copy of the discharge papers. And I know that's one sometimes when I go through the list with clients, we're like, oh, I don't know where Dad has that. You know?
Yeah, that's a very often one that we have to.
And it's something they don't think of until they see you.
Until they see us, right.
Yeah.
And there's ways to access those papers, right? They have, I think it's a national agency that stores.
If you don't have it, you can get a copy of it. But again, you need to be the power of attorney.
You do.
To do any of these
and
things.
And it's not the easiest process, again, and it could take some time.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a time when, have you run into the situation? Because, like you said, whenever we're doing a Medicaid application, if it's a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, we have to provide the paperwork. And I guess there was a time where wherever they stored all that paperwork had a huge fire.
Yes.
And a lot of those records were destroyed.
Oh, boy.
Yes, yeah. That's right. I've run into that several times.
Yeah, there's a certain range of dates that applies to.
Right, and since the Veterans Law Administration lost them, they had some workaround for that.
They did.
Yeah,
that's acceptable.
Were just absolutely lost.
You know, it's funny you guys mentioned that, and I was trying to think, where are my father's discharge papers? I have no idea.
And
I'm sure my brothers don't either, but I mean, he's long gone.
Right.
But I don't think I could have put my hands on him.
It's just great to see it, you know, as part of your father's
history. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Cool.
But I've never seen it.
It's a piece of history.
Yeah, and your family.
That's another thing that we talk about with veterans. Apart from your tangible legacy, meaning your assets and having your will and all that in place, your military legacy, right?
Yes.
Some veterans are willing to share their stories and the memorabilia and whatnot. Some are little less prone to want to do so, whether it's based on their experience, what they went through, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. But it's a piece of history, and it's really valuable to the family. Mm-hmm. So for the veterans, you know, even if you don't want to share it, like writing that stuff down and then leaving it somewhere, letting your family know where it is.
I love reading them because I get to see where they served and they show where they were around the world. And some people, you know, I mean, got to travel all different places.
Some of that stuff's pretty amazing. Yeah, on that DD-214, it shows you where you were first initiated, where you were discharged, where you served. Mm-hmm. And all that information's on that one piece of paper, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we have all the basic documents, right? And I don't want to say that veterans should be treated differently than non-people, non-veterans. But it's just some considerations you want to think about. We're still talking about the same stuff. We're still talking about, besides your will, your healthcare proxy, your power of attorney, a lot of those veterans are talking about trust with us as well.
Yes, that's right. Because if they're, you know, getting to that age where they should start thinking about planning for long-term care, they should be thinking about a trust just as well as, you know, any of our other clients. And it could be a trust to protect your assets in case you need Medicaid to pay for a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
Or it also could be a trust to protect your assets for certain types of VA benefits that are available.
Yeah, and we'll get into that a little bit after the break. But those have particular rules that we'll talk about a little bit. You know, we always discuss, we focus more on the Medicaid and the five-year look back and all those rules that apply. VA benefits have their own set of rules that you have to consider too. And, you know, if you are a veteran, that should be part of the considerations that we're looking at. You know, can we qualify for these benefits? What kind of planning do we want to do for those? And so we'll get into some of that too. But yeah, those regular documents, you know, your even revocable trust sometimes.
True, if you're younger,
If you're younger or the veteran has, you know, long-term care insurance or for whatever reason is not concerned about protecting assets, we're looking at revocable trusts to avoid probate. All those same considerations go into effect. But a lot of times the difference is if the veteran is not in the right state of mind, getting them to have these discussions.
Yes, it's hard to get them to do that and hard to admit that they may need help. I mean, that's hard for any senior to give up control.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I have that many times a week when we're doing a trust and the clients do it. My sons or my daughter's in control.
I can imagine the reaction, but it happens often, I would think.
It happens often. It's one of the hurdles you have to get over when you're doing your estate planning, if you're doing an irrevocable trust.
Got to be done.
Yeah, it just has to be done.
Absolutely. So after the break, we're going to get into a little bit about the different types of benefits available to veterans.
You can't wait to break.
What's that? You keep mentioning. Trying to separate the topics, John.
Okay. All right.
If we start down that
we
path.
We can break now, but
yeah, there's a lot to go into on veterans benefits.
I don't want to start and stop there.
So. I get
That's it.
Right. Let's do the break a little early, then we'll get into that.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show. We, in honor of Memorial Day, we've been talking a bit about veterans and, you know, certain legal considerations that they have and that apply to them. And if you have any questions about, you know, those issues or just in general estate planning and Medicaid, give us a call at 518-476-5900. I assume everyone's sleeping in late because it's a rainy Saturday, but we're here to take your questions.
No baseball for my kids this weekend. They took off the Memorial Day weekend, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're all okay.
Maybe less sports to have to wake up for families, too.
Oh, true. Sure. It didn't get washed out. They just canceled
just
it.
Because of the holiday weekend.
Yeah. Holiday weekend.
They canceled it, yeah.
Yeah, they don't cancel much in the rain, right?
No, not really. Well, baseball sometimes, if the field gets flooded out, they can't really play.
Right.
I remember, or a threat of a thunderstorm. But,
yeah. But I think like soccer and whatnot, they play even if it's a mosh pit in there.
Yes, sure. It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Your car is a muddy mess for several years. Yeah. Sorry to tell you that. Well, now I have a muddy car because of the dogs. It just never ends. You know?
Oh, I just cleaned my car for the first time last week. It's been a muddy mess for about a year.
And it's going to get muddy again.
Yeah, as soon as you clean it, right?
Yeah.
What was that for? That's all right. That's all right. It looks nice for a week or two.
That's right. So before the break, we were talking about doing trusts for veterans and how you can use a trust to plan for Medicaid. And there's also certain veterans benefits that you can plan for. So let's talk a little bit about some of the benefits that are available to veterans.
Yeah, and sometimes we're applying for them for the purpose of, you know, actually helping the veteran needing some more income to pay for care. Sometimes it's a formality because we have to apply for veteran benefits for Medicaid. You know, we talk about Medicaid benefits all the time for nursing home care or for care in the house. Mm-hmm. And one of the requirements is to exhaust any other potential payment sources, right, for those for that care. And one potential payment source is veteran type benefits. So if you are a veteran yourself, or if you are the surviving spouse of a deceased veteran, you have an obligation with Medicaid to make an application for certain types of possibly available VA benefits. And sometimes it's a silly formality because we know that there's certain requirements, right? So one of the requirements for what we call aid and attendance benefits. So it's an extra source of income for those veterans, which for veterans right now, it's somewhere between, if you're married or not married, it's between $2,400 to $2,800 a month. And for the surviving spouse of a deceased veteran, it's about $1,500 a month. So the aid and attendance benefit is there to help pay for healthcare services, right?
And a lot of people don't know that either.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. And that's, it's important.
It's really important because that can sometimes make the difference to make assisted living affordable.
Oh, absolutely.
So I see that used most for our clients towards assisted living costs.
Yeah, right? I would say that's the most beneficial area, that need where their income almost covers the assisted living. And then with the little bump from the aid and attendance, all of a sudden it's an affordable option.
Right.
So super useful in that people that need that kind of care, in my opinion.
And especially because Medicaid doesn't cover the majority of assisted living.
Yeah.
So this is another source of income to get you into assisted living.
Yeah. So we're looking at any way we can get some extra dollars to make that an option.
Yeah.
So with aid and attendance, it's similar to Medicaid in a sense that there are asset and income eligibility limits. As of 2025, the asset limit is about $159,000. Now, a few differences than what we talk about with Medicaid typically is that $159,000 counts, there's less exemptions than there are for
Medicaid.
That's right, yes. Right, so it counts things like retirement accounts and qualified annuities as part of that figure. It also counts your annual income, right? So it doesn't break out income as a separate, distinct eligibility requirement. your income, your gross annual income, after they deduct any allowable medical expenses, counts as part of that figure too. So, you know, say I have $110,000 of countable assets, and my income annually is $70,000. Well, to go to 159, I have to show that I have enough medical expenses monthly to reduce that income to bring me to that level. So, anyway, without getting too much into the weeds, they have specific requirements, and sometimes it's a matter of spending down.
Right. Like, so, like we do with Medicaid, you could spend on, you know, improvements to your house, you know, medical items that you may need to make your house accessible, you know, other things that you need to purchase.
Yep. Or, you know, say you're in the assisted living situation and maybe you are just fully privately paying for a while till your assets are a little bit lower, and then you hit that mark and boom, let's apply for that aid in attendance. You don't want to wait till that moment, right? You want to get the process started earlier, at least the paperwork together. And throw this out there. I mentioned before the VA centers in the different counties. They are really, really, really very helpful with these benefits and what's needed for them. And they're there. They're a resource for the veterans that are underused, in my opinion. Or the veteran waits till they absolutely need the care before they start going to these centers. So I encourage all the veterans out there to familiarize yourself with your local VA center, meet the representatives there, talk about what your options there, kind of give yourself the education, even if it's for future stuff.
Yeah, because I don't think everyone's aware of those kind of long-term care services. You know, they're used to going there for medical needs, and, you know, all the veterans have TRICARE, their medical insurance, which is really great. It covers a lot of things.
Yeah.
But they may not be aware that that's a resource as they age, right? So, and that veteran's aid in attendance, you know, could also be used for home care. So you could use that money to pay for your home care expenses, you know, in or to go to assisted living.
Yeah, you just have to prove to the VA that these are, you know, allowable monthly expenses. If it's home care, you know, as simple as showing copies of invoices for the for the aids you're paying for, and that'll show the need for it. You do need assistance with at least two activities of daily life. That's the minimum.
Yeah, similar to Medicaid.
Similar to Medicaid. So it's not that, hey, I just want aid in my house.
And you have to show that you need it.
Yeah, you have to show that you need it still.
There's some doctor's forms that have to be filled out, you know.
Correct.
Similar to, it's kind of similar to a Medicaid application, you know, medical need, financial need. But as you said, the local VA offices are really great at helping veterans through that process.
Another big difference, too, spouse assets count. Right. So we talk about with Medicaid where we can if one spouse is sick and they're going into a nursing home or needs care, we can transfer assets to the other spouse, the well spouse, we call it, and get the sick spouse qualified for Medicaid, because now we're not counting the well spouse's assets with this spousal refusal. VA, the spouse assets count as well. So sometimes that's a problem.
They're looking at the combined assets to pay for your care.
Now, when we're talking about eligibility and planning for eligibility, you can plan through using different kinds of trusts similar to Medicaid. Very similar type of trusts, a few differences we won't get into too much, but same general concept is we're protecting assets in the event we want to apply for that kind of benefit.
That's right. You know, it's going to be an irrevocable trust, you know, limit some of your access and control to it, but whatever is in that trust is not counted towards your asset limits when you're applying for the VA.
Yeah. The VA has the same idea. It has to be a trust that makes the assets not accessible for the benefit of the veteran.
That's right. It can't be a revocable trust. It needs to be an irrevocable trust.
Right.
And then just like, you know, Medicaid has a 5-year look back that I think most of our listeners are familiar with for a nursing home. So the aid in attendance benefits has a 3-year look back.
Correct.
For these trusts.
Yeah, so there's the 3-year look back too. So again, we're talking about look backs, and every time we talk about look backs, it's the whole point is it's another reason that you want to plan ahead of time. You don't want to start planning when you need the care. You want to plan before you need the care because of those look backs. An interesting component of the VA look back is it's a 3-year look back you just mentioned, right?
Yes.
But if you violate that look back, the penalty could be up to 5 years.
Yes, that's right.
Which to me was always interesting
because it's a weird calculation that they do. Yes.
Because Medicaid has the 5-year look back. You violate the 5-year look back, your penalty can be maximum 5 years, right? That makes sense to me.
Right.
You violate the 3-year look back, you can actually be penalized more for a longer amount of time than the look back period exists for. So you got to be really careful. If you're gonna just willy nilly submit an application and you have a huge amount of transfers in the last 3 years,
right?
You could all of a sudden be hit with a 5-year look back.
You'd be worse off than if you waited through the 3-year
exactly
period,
right. Exactly right?
So you could be tripped up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the VA centers are very familiar with that. And it's another reason before you apply for any of these benefits, they'll look through everything that you have, everything that you did, and make sure you're not making a mistake too.
Yes.
So don't apply right now because that would be really detrimental. If we just wait another year, mm-hmm. we're going to be in the clear rather than having a potentially 5-year penalty.
That's right. So you don't want to apply until someone's checked out everything for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing about the aid and attendance benefit is if you apply, and it's probably applied more in the past, that they were taking a very long time to process the applications. But when you were approved, you would get a retroactive payment.
I think it is still quite long. I don't think it's as long as it was in the past, but it certainly is still longer than like a Medicaid application or other benefits for whatever reason.
Right. So if you're counting on that money to pay your assisted living costs, for example, you will get the money, but you may not get it until a year from now.
Yeah.
And it'll be in a lump sum, you know, like the back pay to the date that you applied.
And that might, you know, you might need it now, which is the detriment sometimes. How we continue to pay for our care for the year it takes for that. Yeah, eventually down the road, we're going to get a lump sum of money, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, I mean, who knows? The person could be deceased already.
That's right. Who's
paying for the monthly care costs in the meantime?
While you're waiting for that. So those are all important things to take into consideration.
Right. But it's also an important fact that you bring up there to recognize that those benefits, even if we are eligible for them, very likely are not going to cover all the cost of care, particularly when you get into the higher levels of care, right? Mm-hmm. So if I go into a nursing home and even if we qualify for that aid and attendance and it gives me another, you know, $2,500 a month or so, probably not getting me to the $18,000 a month that on average a nursing home costs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's still, you know, it still brings those veterans back into our conversations we have with non-veteran clients about Medicaid. It's not to say that the VA, very rarely does the VA cover 100% of care. There's some instances where someone's 100% service-connected disabled.
Mm-hmm.
They can go to certain VA facilities and get care really for free, but that's, we can't count on that, and that's very rare.
There aren't any very close to here, which is...
That's a good point, too.
Right. I know that the VA hospital has some nursing home beds, but it's not that many. You know, I don't know where the closest one is. You'd have to go down state.
Yeah, there was a few on Long Island in the city area I used to deal with, but not really any up here. So that's the other thing. There's no local facilities that would even likely cover that.
Right.
So you don't want to count that on the VA covering everything. You want to look at the other government benefits as well, like Medicaid, that we talk about often. So even if we're starting the process of connecting you with the local VA center, planning for VA benefits as another source of income, we're still having those same conversations about, well, we want to potentially access Medicaid.
Right. That's got to be in the toolbox, so to speak, right? So when we're helping you, we're going to look at all ways that we could pay for your care, right? So, you know, your own private assets, you know, veterans benefits, Medicaid, you know, any other insurance you have. So we're going to take all of that into account, and it's pulling together all the pieces sometimes.
And sometimes, ironically, the fact that you might be eligible makes it more complicated and difficult than it would have otherwise. Mm-hmm. So we have plenty of cases where we're applying for, you know, nursing home Medicaid, for example, when we know either it's A, we absolutely know this person's not going to qualify because they don't hit one of the factors. Even if it's like one of the base factors to be eligible is 90 days of service during active wartime.
Right.
And there's only
certain
periods that are active wartime.
Yes, that's right.
Even if we know this person was not active during that time, we still have to submit the paperwork and show Medicaid we applied, which is silly to me.
Right.
So there's that, or there's the fact that, hey, yeah, we're going to potentially get this benefit and it's going to be a drop in the bucket toward the nursing home cost anyway.
Right.
So we're not really seeing a benefit toward it. Anyway, thank you for all your service out there, veterans. And
everyone have a lovely Memorial Day weekend. Hope it's sunny on Monday.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.